Well, I did watch a little of the ceremony of the inauguration of the new pope, and it brought to mind what Jesus said. What did you go out to see? A man clothed in fine silks? You find those in palaces. He was talking about John the Baptist and saying you were going seeking the wrong thing. Well, that's what I saw.
And yet this is supposedly a very humble man, a man who, when he was in Argentina, lived a relatively humble life.
He's a humble man who claims to be infallible, which is ridiculous.
I mean, you'd like not only not a new pope, but also no priests. Can you explain to those who are perhaps not familiar with your work why it is that you think that?
Well, the priesthood has no basis in Scripture or in the early liturgies or in the early history of the Church. Paul, when he writes to gatherings, salutes the gatherings, no leaders, and he says the Spirit gives many gifts, readers, preachers, healers, exorcists, speakers in tongues, interpreters of tongues, no priests. Never calls himself a priest, anyone else a priest, never says he offers sacrifice, and all for a very good reason. The original followers of Jesus did have priests. They were in the temple. These were Jews. They differed from other Jews in only one way. They thought the Messiah had come, the others did not. But Paul, when he went out to the diaspora, went first to the synagogues. When he came back, according to the Acts of the Apostles, from his travels, James, the head of the church in Jerusalem, said, oh, you have to go to the temple to be purified. And he did. So the only priests around were the Jewish priests. And that ended only when the Romans destroyed the temple and all Jewish priesthoods ended. Well, we find out that in the first century, at the end of the first century, there were people who missed that, who were harking back to the days when they had sacrifices and priests, as all the religions around them did. Christianity was set apart by only having a meal, not a sacrifice. And so a letter was written to them, a letter to Hebrews in the 90s of the first century, saying, oh, don't worry, we have a better priesthood. That was just animal sacrifice, and it had to be renewed. We have a human sacrifice. Jesus offered himself, and that's a one-time sacrifice. You don't have to do it every year the way the high priest did. And he says, now I know he's not a priest by your normal understanding because he was not from the proper Levite tribe. He was from the tribe of Judah. But remember, there's this fellow in Genesis, Melchizedek. And Abraham, when he was coming back from his sacrifices, offered a tithe to Melchizedek. That means Melchizedek was a better priest than Levi. And Levi offered sacrifice through his great-great-great-grandfather, Abraham. And therefore, we have a new priesthood in the order of Melchizedek. Well, to buy that, it took a while for the church to buy that, but to buy that is just a fantasy. Melchizedek is a mythical figure. He's used in various forms of mythology. He worshipped the Canaanite gods, not Yahweh. So the whole priesthood started off on a crazy tack.
But hold on, Professor Wills, surely, I mean, everybody almost knows this idea of the church in one sense, that there's this very first priest, Peter. Thou art Peter, and on this rock I shall build my church. The first pope.
He was not a pope. He was not a priest. He was not a bishop. He's never called a priest or a bishop or a pope by himself.
But he was somebody on whom the church was built.
Only in the sense that there's supposed to be a line of succession from this non-pope to the current pope. That line of succession is itself a myth. It was broken over and over and over. In the 15th century, there were three popes, none of whom would resign, so a special council was called, the Council of Constance, and it said, we'll appoint a new pope. We'll start all over again if the new pope will agree to call regular councils to supervise his activity. And, of course, as soon as he got into power, he neglected that condition.
Okay. But in a way, that you may object to there being a line of succession then to the new pope, but you accept that Peter in the first instance was the rock. They may not have used the word pope or priest, but he was a former priest.
No, a priest offers sacrifice. There is no sacrifice. That's the definition of a priest. A hieros is somebody who offers the sacrifice, the sphagia. He never did. He was a leader, that's true. And G.K. Chesterton had a very good thing to say about that. He said, why was he a leader? He was not courageous. He betrayed Jesus. He was ambitious. He was boastful. There were better disciples around than him. He said, Jesus chose him because he was every man. He was not above people. And that's the only reason that he would be representative. And that's what he was, a representative of the followers. Jesus also said, don't put yourself above any of your fellows. Don't be called father. You have only one father in heaven. So the whole idea of offices and hierarchies and promotion and ambition and power is totally against the gospel. The whole idea that the Pope can pronounce on what is natural law, there's nothing in the scripture or the councils or the creeds about natural law teaching on any of the things that the Pope talks about in terms of natural law.
Can I ask you then, how would a church according to the way that you think Catholicism should be, how would it be run? No leaders, rules?
Remember, Paul, when he writes to the Corinthians and to others, says, the Spirit has given you many gifts. You have all of these charisms of the Spirit. You have people who are leaders, they're teachers. But he doesn't say they are priests who offer sacrifice and are the sole conduit of grace. The Spirit, in other words, informs the body and gives it many gifts. What the Church elaborated in the Middle Ages was a single line of grace coming down, Pope, Bishop, Priest. So the only person who can forgive sins, who can consecrate the host, who can do all of these other things, is the priest. He has monopolized what were all of the gifts of the Spirit beforehand. Now, the gifts of the Spirit were gifts of leadership. The teachers were taught. The readers read. The healers healed. That's what I see happening in the Church, the Catholic Church, and all of the Christian churches. They're all one body of Christ. We do feed the poor. We do heal people. We do go out into the hospitals. We go into Africa. We go to slums. All of that is the Church. It's Jesus acting in us, through us, all the time around the world. And to claim that there's only one conduit of grace, well, that's ridiculous.
Professor Gary Wells, thank you very much.